Matthew 6, 25 through 30. Also, too, there's going to be a word that you'll hear more than one time. I'm going to ask you to see if you can figure out what that word is. I'll ask you in just a minute right now. Therefore, I say to you. Now, these are walking and marching orders from Jesus Christ to his disciples. Verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, nor what you will put on. Is not life more than just food and the body and more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And I love the question. And he says, are you not more of more value than they? Verse 27. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? And I've tried that. It doesn't work. Verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil. They do not spin. And yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory was arrayed like one of these. That's some of the most beautiful descriptive language you'll find anywhere in Scripture right now. Verse number 30. Now, he said all these other things. And he says, now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 34, therefore, there's another therefore, he said, he's made his case, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In other words, the NIV says it this way, each day has enough trouble of its own. You got it? That's really what he was saying there right now. I want to talk to you about a word you heard a few times. Did anybody perhaps grab the word maybe? Worry. Today I want to talk to you about worry. I want to talk to you about worry. If you were a kid in the 60s, the biggest contraband we could hide in our house was a magazine with a funny little character on the face with a gap in his teeth. And written under him, it said, what? Me worry? His name was Alfred E. Newman. Don't bring that stuff in my house. Oh, we couldn't help ourselves. We had to read the satire. By the way, kids today do not understand satire. They do not understand nuance of humor. They do not. They get their feelings hurt, and things. But what me worry? And it was always a fun. In fact, I've got that picture on my phone somewhere, that face. It's funny there, worry. But when it concerns us, it's serious here. Worry is what I want to talk about today. When I sat down Thursday, this has been churning in my heart down the road, but I sat down. Sometimes the church does well with worry. Sometimes church doesn't do too well. Saw a church sign one day that said, don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. And that's kind of the case sometimes. But we do worry about a lot of things. I love the writing of Dr. Daniel Amen. He is a psychologist. He is a coach. He is a doctor. And he is a man that understands the science of psychology and things like that. But yet he's firmly versed in the word of the Lord. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon him. And he has said some very poignant things. Dr. Daniel Amen. And he talked about the 18, the 40, and the 60 rule, dealing with worry. He said at 19, you worry about what others think about you. At 40, you don't care what others think about you. And then at 60, you realize no one has been thinking of you at all. He said what you need to know, people think of themselves and not you, but sometimes we've grown up worrying. Worry is a very real thing. I want to talk about worry today. I have a lot. I don't know. I have a lot to be worried about. We all do. I have worries, but yet I probably should be using the word concerns because I'm not idle in that. And I'm going to show you the difference in just a few minutes right now. I've been worried at my house this week. I have some things that I know coming up on a deadline, and I'm worried about some of those things. I'm worried about some of the things that you guys go through and all this. I'm worried about life, different things. I see people walking through things, and my heart is moved, and I'm worried about the evil that is loose in our world today. I'm worried about it. There used to be something inside of us that we at least had moorings that we could go to and trust. Many of us were raised and we'd play on a street. And if our mom and dad weren't there, the rule for us, don't come back till it's dark. But there might be somebody, it might be an older lady or an old gentleman. There was always somebody, and there was a teacher that said, hey, that's not right, that's not good. You don't have that anymore. In fact, the teachers, I know that Nancy started seeing this and how it really changed. And it started changing in a school situation. I was raised on that thing. I didn't do that. And I was lovingly told, well, that'll make up for the other times you got away with things. I watched her. I had to deal with some of them. You get this lying little criminal. You got the goods on him. You bring him in, and mama comes. It's not my child, wouldn't do that. I'm thinking your child would cut you if he could. He wouldn't do that. And the teacher was always wrong. Things have changed because of that breakdown. And as you break down, it's a long-term residual effect. I'm worried there's no one to look to. I used to look at presidents. I used to look at mayors. I used to look at some of those leaders, business leaders. You look at people, I'm worried. We don't have that. We don't have that anymore. Our kids sure don't have that anymore. I'm concerned about things right now. I'm kind of at the point where somebody wrote just a few weeks ago, said the only thing Orwell got wrong was the year. And we're living in those sort of things right now. I'm worried about the things going on in the world. I listened to him for years on interviews and some morning radio things. Tyler and I used to hear him. Dr. Gordon Chang. He is a Chinese man, and he's really tuned into what's going on in the world. And he's been sounding the alarm for 10 years at least. And I had an opportunity last year to meet him and talk to him and tell him. And he's sounding the alarm today. And we see things when we realize that even the medicine we take has been turned over to people who want to kill us. I'm worried. You don't know what you're getting from them. They're telling us about the chemicals that will kill us, and they spray it on our crops from the sky. I'm worried about certain things. Gordon Chang said, it's not just the armies anymore. Gordon Chang's China has been weaponizing their scientists for years. When you start reading the residual effect of what happened after the Second World War and how very similar to the characters in the scripture that said there might be, but if we save these leaders, they will remember us. You know, the stories we told in the Old Testament. People that were brought into our government. I'm worried about those things. But I'm not worried to the point that I can't function. I'm not paralyzed. The better word is I am concerned. Concerned has a foundation that, number one, I do know the difference. I do know the answer. I'm not wringing my hands. Regarding worry, I want to tell you straight up. I've heard a lot of church messages. You've heard people say, oh, just snap out of it. Y'all ever know the super Christians? You're going through a difficult time. You're kind of, oh, just snap out of it. Sometimes you can't just snap out of it. You know why? Number one, it's very real. It has an effect on your psyche. It has effect on your physical body. It has effect on your ability to even open your mouth when you're paralyzed. I've heard somebody call it the worry monster. Yeah. Worry is real. Worry is powerful. They call it the worry monster. That's really characterizing the spirit of it, the power of it, and the destructiveness of this thing that we called worry. You know what worry does? Worry discourages you. It sickens you in your mind and in your body. And as it escalates and gets to be the loudest thing in our heart, worry will paralyze you. You cannot lift your hand. If you're going through some things in your life and worry is so big about what you're going to do, and Jesus wrote that, gave us those great words that Matthew wrote down for us this morning. You see those things. No, by the way, he said, don't worry about what you're going to eat. That doesn't mean to sit and wait for the birds to come put clothes on you. That means that is not your consuming thing. Jesus was not denigrating and minimizing those important things, but he was explaining to you your mindset of it. You must take care of the things that you know to do. He gave you the brain to do that. But when it gets to the point that you're so paralyzed and so fearful, sometimes you just can't snap out of it. You got to have two things to snap out of worry. Ready? You might want to write this down. You cannot snap out of it. You might write that down. Without a relationship with Jesus Christ, number one, and a foundation in his word. I'll say it again. You can't just snap out of it without a relationship with Jesus Christ and a foundation in his word. The next few minutes, I'm going to give you a number of ways to grow in that concept. I'm going to ask you to listen up. I'm going to ask you to lean in. You know, in Philippians chapter 4, he's talking to the people in the Philippian church, and he's talking to them, and Paul makes this statement, in, I think it's in verse 4. He says, I want you to stand fast in the Lord. Now, they have gone through all growing pains. They've gone through difficulties. He's getting them ready for what's going to happen. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, Philippians 4, verse 4 through 6. Here we're talking about concerns. We're talking about, we have some real problems. Verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And to emphasize it, he says, and again I will say, rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4, 4. Next line. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. I can tell you right now, the Lord is at hand. And you know what he says here in verse 6? There's all kinds of things going on in their world at that time. And he's trying to tell them what's most important. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Verse 6. And be anxious for nothing. What's another word for anxious? Don't be worried. That doesn't mean disengaged. That doesn't mean dumb. That doesn't mean passive, but it means that you are still strong and you are still moving. Be anxious for nothing, not staying idle because the next line says it, but in everything, say everything, everything. By prayer and supplication, that is beseeching him and pouring our hearts. And notice it's not just the Christmas list. It is mingled with this concept, the word thanksgiving, with prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Like David prayed that way. Lord, I've got these needs, but I know you've done this before. God, you did this, but I remember that time I was. But you need to remind yourself of the goodness of God with thanksgiving. Let your request be known unto God. Now, on that verse 6 for a minute, I read it to you in the New King James. But verse 6 of Philippians in the NIV says here, listen to this statement. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, don't be worried about everything, but in every situation, he says, make your request known. And he uses the word also in the NIV translation, he uses the word thanksgiving there. The New Living Translation of that same line says it this way, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. I think I like that one the best. That's the New Living, by the way, Philippians 4, 6. Don't worry about anything. What's worry, though? Worry is, let me just read it so I don't mess up on it. Worry is a destructive process that occupies our minds with thoughts that are contrary to God's love, God's care, and God's protection. When I read that definition about God's care and God's protection, I thought about children. And when every one of us have walked through situations and a child could not understand and they might have been afraid, one of the boys might have been afraid of something. And I would pick one of them up and I would say, hey, man, don't worry about that. That's fine. That's okay. Don't worry about that. And I wanted my love and my embrace and that protection to calm the boy, the baby. And I think we need to see ourselves in that mindset of him wrapping his arms around us. And in comparison to his love, I love those three words, his care and his protection. His love, his care, and his protection. And what I did, maybe that threat might still be out there, but my love, my care, and my protection for both of them made them calm and spoke peace to their little minds. Does that make sense? Baby's crying. Y'all, we got you. Y'all are doing that right now. Oh, it's okay. It's all right. And they go, it might not be all right. But what they feel right then is all right. The great Corrie Ten Boom said it this way. Normally it would be up here and you'd be taking pictures. Corrie Ten Boom said, worry is a cycle of inefficient thoughts whirling around a center of fear. I'll say it again. Worthy is a cycle of inefficient thoughts whirling around a center of fear. Worry is dancing around the evil of fear, the power of fear. I told you I'd encourage you by giving you some possibilities to look for. Psalm 55. By the way, the concept of dealing with worry is the same in both Testaments. Got it? The concept, and I'm just going to give you one of each in a minute. The concept of dealing with worry is a thread that goes through both Testaments. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. A burden can have anxiety. Burden is full of worry. Even the sound of it is burdensome. Cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. When you are so worried and it looks like things are falling apart on so many different levels, remind yourself of David's word. Cast your burden on the Lord. He'll sustain you. Ain't nothing going to happen to you that he doesn't know about and can't fix. I told you that the thread in both Testaments, 1 Peter 5, this is probably a refrigerator on some of your, magnet on some of your refrigerators today. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. I heard a preacher one time said, that word cast, you need to see it a little bit. It actually means this concept, rolling our cares upon him, rolling our worries upon him. When we were smaller and we were carrying a load and somebody would come along and say, hey, let me help you with that, you'd gladly give that over, roll that off on them. The descriptive language is true throughout the thread of both Testaments, cast it upon him. Yeah, but I'm worried. It's past just concern. Concern means you're going to do what you know to do. Concern means you will do what you have to do. Concern means you'll get off your behind and go to work. Concern means that you'll quit dancing around the tree. Oh me, oh me. You're gonna say in everything, Lord, I'm not wild about that. By the way, it doesn't say you have to be happy about that circumstance. But Lord, I give thanks and praise to you because I know not only do you know, but you'll care. And Father, you know the answer of how to do this. I rest in you today. Both Testaments. Please do not look at me and say he's just up there telling you something. I wrote this statement down that most guys that do what I do would never say this. None of us are immune to the heavy power of worry. I got to tell you what, man. I mean, I'm talking about the last few months. Past few weeks. There have been things that I've just had to go, hey, stop. Stop. You're supposed to be holy. I'm so far from that, y'all. It disappoints you. There have been times recently that something kind of, it's like a wave. And I step out of me and look back at me and I said, you know better than that. You know what that is. By the way, I know some people, though, that aren't happy unless they have that, okay? Now, those are the people, and some might even be looking, I don't know. But there's some people, if they don't worry, they'd go buy it at Sears. If they don't have it, they'll go buy it somewhere. We should not live in a spirit of grief and worry and anxiety and despair. We will face it. Why do you think David had the illumination of the Spirit of God and said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? He didn't say, yea, though I build my house in the valley. Yea, though I stop there and build it there. No, you're gonna go through. That means there is another side to it. You're going to get to the other side of it. Dottie Rambo wrote that famous lyric, when I'm low in spirit, I cry, Lord, lift me up. I want to go higher with you. And then the lyric goes, he leads me beside still waters, and in the valley he restoreth my soul. Wow. But I got to tell you, I have to deal with it sometimes. There's a couple things. I'm very concerned. And every one of us are that way. I'm trying to say, I understand it when people say those things. I have a problem with the Christianese. Oh, just snap out of it. But I'll tell you what you do have. You got a God. And you just look out the window and you see those little flowers waving at you. And if he cares about them, I love the lyric, the line that says, how much more. How much more? A lot of this isn't written here. None of us are immune to the heavy power of worry. Let me give you three words about this worry situation. Three words, ready? Number one, dealing with worry, you must be, number one, proactive, okay? And you know what that is. That's the giving thanks. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. You must be faith-filled. So you may have to jam your ears with some faith words. Play it in the car. Get away from the people that aren't speaking life and faith. And number three, be intentional about the whole thing. Proactive, faith-filled, and intentional. That's flat-footed, looking at and doing something. Now, I'm going to go back to where we came in. In fact, I'm doing this twice today, going back to where we came in. Remember when we read the word in Philippians 4 that said, be anxious for nothing? Here's what I'd like to do. That was verse 6, and I left out a few verses before I got, let me just read this for you right now. I left out, after I read verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Stop right there. I did not read this verse 7. Ready? Verse 7, Philippians 4, 7. It said prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. And the peace of God, this is not only a promise, but it should be an expectation. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, verse 6. Verse 7. And the peace of God. Now notice this line, which goes beyond or surpasses, is the word in the New King James, surpasses all understanding. You know what this means right here? This means you can't figure it out. You can't figure it out. It's beyond your natural. How does that work? He just says to do this. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, and the peace of God that goes beyond your natural understanding. Now notice this. Notice the next thing he says in verse 7. Ready? It will guard, you like that word? It'll guard two areas of our life. It will guard our hearts, and it will guard our minds. Where does worry birth in? Our hearts and our minds. And I love the fact that he did not say, make be made known to God, and this guards your heart. No, that line up there, don't miss it. And the peace of God. That gives you something to shoot for. That's faith, which goes beyond your understanding. You don't understand how, but just do it. If you're just doing it on Sunday morning, bless me, mama, and all us, we go home. But you're going to need this tomorrow, Thursday. I don't understand it. It's beyond my natural understanding. Your hearts will be guarded and your minds, why and how? Through Jesus Christ. I've talked to many people, well, I can't help this. I just keep replaying this. I've had some people that are just, you've seen that cartoon of Sylvester when he starts beating his head on the telephone pole in the cartoons, you know, he just can't get through to something. I feel like that sometimes, just beating my head again. And I keep going back to it. I keep doing it. Stop it. Some people like that. They like the comfort of that. Also, what it does, it takes the responsibility off of them to do something about it. The prayer, the praise, the supplication, the thanksgiving, you see? And they're very comfortable in their maladies, okay? They're very comfortable in their maladies. They're very comfortable in their victim role, and they love it. They don't want to remove it. I see people today that they love that. That's not of God. When he talks to us as being kings and priests and new creations, and let this mind be in you, stop it. I've heard him say, I just can't, I keep praying. I don't know what to do. Let me stand before you without pride or arrogance, but with the fact of the word of God. But I know what to do. Do I always pull it off? No. Do I always pull it off? No. But I'm getting better at it. It's thinning out as we go, the opposition. Some things I don't even think of anymore. Oh, that's great. But there are things that I have to deal with. And so lovingly, I want to impart something to you. And before I read another scripture, I need to remind you, I've done it before, you need to put something in its place, okay? Oh, just snap out. Well, put something in its place then. Put something in its place. You know, Linda has been involved with some people, and she's really helped a lot of people with coaching and diet-type situations. And she's not doing as much more, but she has helped 10 or 15 people, and not one of them. She got one lady that's 65 pounds that she walked her through and helped her, another lady in the 40s and things like that. And we're trying to, but you read all these different kind of these programs, and all of you have, and you looked at them. There's a concept that some of them use, and it's the concept of the food substitution. What can you put in the place of something that you would like? Now, most of the time, the thing you're putting into the place tastes like cardboard, all right? I'll tell you that right now. But you have to get to the point where you have to do that and things like that. And they call it the concept of a food. One of these programs has what's called a food substitution plan. Instead of this, try that. Try that. Try that, do that. It's not all, but you have to make it, and you have to put in something in its place. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put something in its place. Remember when I read the scripture and I read verse number 7? Verse 6, with prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, request. Verse 7, the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. All right, you ready for the substitution plan? Verse number 8 is the substitution plan for your worry. Ready? Finally, brethren. And what he's getting ready to say, I wrote in my margin, he's really getting ready to tell them, here's how to keep your mind right. Here's how to keep your spirit right. It's verse 8. Here's the substitution program that you put in its place. You got to put something there. Finally, brethren, whatever things, by the way, stop. Things are the problem. Things mess us up. Things drive us into sin. Things drive us into doubt. Things drive us into unbelief. Things drive us into, things do that. But he says, whatever things I'm substituting for the worry, the fear, the paralyzing feel. What other things that are true? Say true. What other things that are noble? Say noble. They have destroyed noble things today, right now. Even to the nobility of opening a door. for a lady. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. At my age, I still say, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I say, thank you. I say, please. I say that, and by the way, church people, I tip well too. Church people are the worst tippers in the world. They'll leave a dollar and a little gospel track. I'm going to tell you something right now. That these people are working hard. You should leave them something. And I think that's one of the best testimonies that you can have right now. Now, I do have a sliding scale. They've been a little surly on me like that. One time I had one. I was feeling a little frisky. I said, I only give Jesus 10%, and I ain't going to give you more than that. I'm going to tell you that right now. I know better now. But you understand what I'm saying, though? We've lost our nobility. When you have generals wearing dresses, we've lost our nobility. I honor the institutions. I am moved when I see those things. And I see the bastardization of bravery and what is supposed to be noble. I say, God help us. But I want to commend that which is noble. When I see men and I hear that, see that flag, somebody said, and they try to paint you, well, you're a Christian nationalist. You're darn right I am. Because I'm going to ask you a question. What kind of foundation do you want in a man telling little kids about their bodies? A leader making decisions. Alan Jackson, great preacher, I heard him yesterday. 2 weeks ago, he's in Israel. He goes to Israel, and not on the embassy. I'm trying to think of the other building, the American building, consulate. And he said, here we were at the American flag there and a big rainbow banner all across the thing. Where's the nobility? But there is nobility of a man that stands up and says, as for me and my house, we'll serve God. I honor those police officers. Some of them maybe have not been good. But if you got to a point that every time you stopped a car, when you walked up, you didn't know what was going to be there, the institutions, the nobility's gone, but the word is noble. Think on the things that are noble. Third thing, what other things that are just? Sometimes the interpretation of the word just is covetous and envy and revenge. But God is a good God. He's a just God. Got some, oh, God's love. He loves everybody. He does love everybody, but he is a just God. The scales, there's balance there. Think on that which is true, noble, just. Watch this. That which is pure. That's verse 8. That which is pure. That's a men, young men, ladies, young ladies. Every one of us are not immune to the attack of thoughts that are not pure thoughts. But we should work. We should understand. Whatever things that are lovely. Here's another one. Whatever is of good report. I'm throwing out some things to you that will help fuel you during your worry moments. In other words, do the opposite of what worry does. True things, noble things, just things, pure things, lovely things, good report. Do the opposite. However, if you ignore that, worry will compound the evil. Worry one will cripple. Worry will cripple you like the interest of that little lady that acts like she doesn't know what's going on and she's paralyzing you. You are the people that are being paralyzed right now. You talk about compounding interest, and they're doing it to crowd you out so you'll never have a house, so you'll never have a car. That's evil right now. Do you find it really, really kind of funny that the people that are $31 trillion in debt are giving you a credit score? It's amazing. As you can see, if I think about that much, I start worrying. And I have to think about there is a God. He rules in the affairs of all men. Now watch this. Now here's the next part. He said, if there is any virtue, this is the last part of verse 8, I believe. Yeah, verse 8. No, 9. That's part of 9. If there's any virtue, if there's anything that is praiseworthy, now my New King James says, meditate. One translation says, think on these things. Let's talk about the word meditate right now. Meditation is very real. Now, coming out of the 60s with all the moon kooks and all the things like that, and the Beatles with the flowers on the side and the buses and the Grateful Dead with the school bus following around the world. You say the word meditate and people go, ooh, it's spooky. Let me tell you, I don't need to contemplate my belly button. I don't need to sit there and make a hum and cross my legs a certain way and put my fingers in a certain pose to receive something. That is opening me up to things. Now, there are very real bad spirits out there, but I never wake up worrying about those spirits because they don't live in me. And if they try to harass me, the name of Jesus is a fence around me, as the old timers used to sing. But when I meditate, I'm going to encourage you to meditate. What is meditation? You ready? When I meditate, I will remember the goodness of God. I will rehearse it. I'll say it over again. I will remind themselves. Tyler in the car this morning started telling me about an older person that he knows, and it's an unusual thing. This older person tells the same stories over and over again. There's no faith in that, but however, there is faith by saying maybe to your kids, we were dead in trespasses and sin, but Jesus changed my life. The Lord changed me. There was a time that David said, this poor man cried out there, you're no different. I'm no different. I remember there were Sundays I was in the hospital and you were here praying for me, and on the other side of it, I need to rehearse that sometimes. When I get fearful, when that thing comes, I need to remind myself what God, rehearse the goodness of God. Meditate on the goodness of God. What does that mean? That means to chew on it a little bit. Bring it back up like the cow. Chew it up and listen to it for just a minute. That's how Moses wrote. We read Moses' writings for a whole year where Moses said, Lord, you did all of this. I thank you. You brought us through the fire. You brought us through Egypt. You did this. You gave us water. You opened the sea. That's what Moses was doing. He was building. David wrote it over and over. Paul wrote it over and over again. And here's this guy that wrote most of his greatest hits were written in jail, but he's telling you to rejoice in the Lord always. Verse number 9. It's closed verse 8 by saying meditate on these things. But verse number 9, what things are we meditating? Now notice this, it's not some aimless. Meditate, verse 9, on the things that you have learned, say learned, you have received, you have heard, and saw me do. You've learned some things that I've said today. You've received scriptures that I've given, but you've heard me today, and you've even seen me do it. Start there if your faith is low. Start there with it right now. You heard this. And notice he comes back to the same thing that he used in verse 7. The things you've learned, that's the foundation. Remember I said you cannot be free from worry unless you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you have a foundation in his word. You notice it's connecting right now? Now notice, meditate on the things you've learned, received, heard, saw. These do. And he brings back a statement he said two verses previously. And the peace of God, and the peace of God, instead of the demon of worry, instead of the paralysis of worry. Some of you lay awake, you worry. Strut, count, forget sheep, count blessings. Lord, you did this. The devil will put you to sleep. Be encouraged. Meditate on these things, he said. The God of peace will be with you. Let the God of peace take your worries today. And again, I tell you, as I said when I came in, we're not oblivious to problems. It does not mean we should ignore symptoms, minimize things, not be current with our bill situation or our work situation. and we avoid things. That you're not supposed to not worry about that. You're supposed to take care of business, as Elvis said. TCB. Do not ignore things. You've been having a problem, get it checked. You think God goes, hey, I can't help her. She's gone to the doctor. Every good gift comes from God. Don't minimize that which is serious, that which is threatening, that which is dangerous, and that which is evil. But in the process, when you're due diligence, you will choose to trust. You will choose to pray. You'll choose to be thankful. By the way, a thankful spirit is a powerful thing. You know, 2 Timothy says it this way. One of the traits of in the last days, it's not just the evil and the craziness. It actually says the people will be unthankful. That's a trait, and people are unthankful today. That applies to everything that touches your life. By the way, do you know that many problems in your life begin because you are unthankful? One day a guy wakes up, he looks across the table, he's no longer thankful for her. And there'll be somebody else. There'll be a substitution that's put there. And then you open up a whole can of new worry. The all of the above answer, again, is written by Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. Take comfort personally in the words David spoke to himself in Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. In other words, you worried, you concerned? Your mercy, O God, endures forever. And then he tags the line, O God, do not forsake the work of your hand. That's Psalm 138, verse 8. I told you about a man who wrote songs. I told you I grew up singing. I was singing when I was 5. When I was 6, there was an offer to go national TV. I'd grown up singing. I see myself more of a singer sometimes than a speaker. I just, the way the chorus took me. You get in a point in time, though, as you're growing up, and voice starts doing different things, and you can't find where it is. And I didn't understand that at the time. And I remember so many years ago, I didn't realize the man I had lunch with wrote this song until years later. And it was a simple line that says, I believe, and it's a little bouncy, cute little song, almost like a Sunday school song. I believe, why should I worry or fret? He holds the future in the palm of his hand. He's never failed me yet. I know he is reigning and still has control, so why should I worry or fret? Kind of sing-songy, but here I am this old, I'm still singing it. The bridge part says, I know he holds the future. I know he holds my hand, and just as sure as I'm singing this song, I'm part of God's mighty plan, I believe. So as I send you out of the room today, regarding your worry, forget me, forget David, forget Paul. I leave you with the words of Jesus that pick up where I left off when I read the opening in Matthew 6. I go to verse 31, Matthew 6. He said, therefore, do not worry, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, these are the things they seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Verse 33 is what I want to send you home with. Matthew 6, 33. Ready? But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. That is a prescription for worry. I did my best with short notice. Seek first the kingdom of God, all of his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I leave you with something cute I heard somebody say the other day. When you feel like you're drowning, don't worry. Because your lifeguard walks on water. Stand up. Don't worry. Lord, we love you today. Can I breathe for a minute? Lord, it's funny how you work circumstance. Maybe we're not even happy about circumstances. I certainly was not happy the way this evolved. But I think God spoke to us today. I think he spoke to us today. I think he spoke to us today. Lord, we thank you. And this worry thing, we roll it upon you. Don't mistake worry for concern. Don't be a lazy Christian. Don't be an idle Christian. God's going to take care of me. Well, get up and do something in the process. Ride that horse till he gives you a new one. They kept throwing nets. They kept fishing until he said, no, you're going full time now. Do not minimize that. Do not minimize the small things. In everything, be thankful in all things. Think on that which is good and true and noble. Work now is not considered noble anymore. Where'd that come from? I can go to all the psychology into it. I can go into the etymology of the ideology. I understand that too, of breaking those things down. But the Word of God supersedes every bit of that. Roll it upon Him. And on a regular basis, think on that which is true, honest, pure, just, of good report. And then he says, instead of the demon of worry, the God of peace will rule your hearts. And guess what? If you do it on Monday, you're going to have to do it again on Tuesday. That's how you grow. In Jesus' name, walk in blessing. Hands up.